Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our results conference call. I'm joined by Gonçalo Soares, as usual. He'll make a short presentation, and then we'll open the floor for questions. Gonçalo?
Hello, good morning, good afternoon to you all. Thank you for joining the call. So I would say that, almost as every time, results are pretty much in line with expectations, and they were slightly above consensus, but mostly in line. And they are also broadly in line with the results that we had presented in the first semester. So we have EBITDA going down 3.4% versus last year to around 374 million. This is mainly the result of the reduction in the hydro land remuneration. And also, if you remember, we have an impact of a one-off because last year we had the positive impact of the reversal of an impairment in some receivables. And so I would say these two and the own works represent most of the impact that explain the decrease in EBITDA. On the other side, you have net income coming down 4.9%, but you can see that you have recurrent net income posting a very positive trend, which is growing to plus 20% versus last year. Net income evolution is basically explained by the strong and negative impact of the energy sector extraordinary levy, which accounts almost 90 million now in our net income as of the third quarter. This was mostly compensated by the good performance in financial results, but given the impact of EBITDA, this was not enough to compensate for the full impact on the net income level. In terms of CapEx, we are at around 70 million. This is a big decrease versus last year, but as I'll explain to you, this has to be seen in the context of the investment that we are doing in the underground storage assets that we are buying from Galp. And so in that, we are managing and calibrating CapEx, taking into account that investment that we are making there and that was not included in our business plan. Okay? So, slide number 3 is basically just the KPIs. Let me take you to slide number 4. You can see that our Portugal sovereign risk has been stabilizing. It has decreased substantially since last year. It has decreased substantially since the beginning of the year. I'd say that in the last few months it has stabilized, went up a little bit, but on a year-on-year basis it represents clearly one of the main explanations of the evolution also in EBITDA. Okay, this is also good news and has been helping us on the funding front, but has, as you know, a negative impact on the remuneration. Let me take you to investments and to transfers to RAB. So you can see that in slide number 5, our CapEx is around 69 million, so it's a decrease of 37% versus last year. And transfers to RAB is also much lower than they were last year. Why is this? Basically because since we are doing the acquisition of those assets from Galp, we are now calibrating the CapEx in 2014 and 15. So our objective in the 2 years is to maintain the aim that we set out in the business plan, which is to do around 200 million per year, so around 400 million in those 2 years jointly. That means that apart from the 70 million that represents the investment in the underground storage assets, then we would have to manage the other CapEx in order to not go much above the 400 million figure in the 2 years. And so we are delaying and calibrating a little bit the CapEx projects this year, and we are doing the same thing in 2015. That has meant two things. One, that the normal CapEx figure is lower than the 200 million for this year, taking out the issue of the underground storage assets. And two, that since we are calibrating some projects, some of them concentrated even more at the end of the year. It's, as you know, already normal that most of the CapEx is concentrated at the end of the year. But this year in particular, because of these efforts from Galp, we are concentrating even a little bit more. So what you'll see is at the end of the day, end of the year, a CapEx which is below the 200 million. I don't know if it's 170, 170, but it's below. And so it will be managed in a way to achieve those results that I told you before. If the underground storage assets, which are now in the bureaucratic process approval with Earth and with the government, if that process ends before the year end, what you'll get is a CapEx this year which is higher than 200 million and lower next year. If that process ends in 2015 already, which I think is what will happen, so the most likely scenario is that that process will only end in 2015, what will happen is that this year will end up with a CapEx below the 200 and next year will be above the 200 in a way that in the 2 years we achieve the 400 million, okay? So what you can see in slide number 6 then is basically the evolution of CapEx per type. It's basically a very normal evolution relative to the past quarter, so an increase in electricity with premium, a decrease in electricity without premium, which is a good thing, and a small decrease in this case of natural gas because typically the investments in natural gas also this year are done more at the end of the year, so it's the normal trend. What has this resulted in terms of remuneration? So you can see that in slide number 7. So basically what you see is a more or less stable remuneration in terms of electricity, okay, which is you have a negative impact of rate of return versus a positive impact in, because of the increase of the asset base, and you see a small decrease on the remuneration of gas, mainly due to the rate of return, which is not compensated in this case by an increase in the asset base. Moving on to costs, in slide number 8, you can see that we are continuing to deliver on what we've said, which is to push efficiency and decrease costs. External costs are coming down almost 6%, personal costs are coming down 3%. So you can see that costs overall are coming down around 4%. We are continuing to implement the restructuring process, so we are continuing to reduce personnel costs. I would not say that at the end of the year this is exactly the decrease percent-wise of cost that you'll see, because some maintenance costs typically also are more concentrated in the last quarter, but I would say that on the OPEX side we are well within the targets set out by the regulator, and we are well within the targets set out in our business plan. Okay, you can see that this drop in costs, and you can see that in slide number 9, core OPEX is also true in the other pass-through costs, but as you know, most important is core OPEX, which is improving even a little bit more percentage-wise, so it's decreasing around 4.6%. Slide number 10 sums up a little bit all of the impacts on the EBITDA line, so these 13 million that are coming down are basically, as I said, the result of, on one side, the decrease of the hydro land remuneration. That decrease represents now almost 6 million, and the reversal of the one-off impairment in receivables. So those two together represent almost 11 million, which is the bulk of the variation of EBITDA up to the third quarter of 2014. Let's move on now to below EBITDA indicators. So depreciation, nothing new, slightly increasing, no surprises there. Net financial income, I'd say that it keeps posting very good performance, as it has already done in the first semester. We were able even to decrease slightly more the average cost of debt to around 4.7%. And so it has this very positive evolution, which compensates partially for the drop in EBITDA, but is not enough to compensate both the drop in EBITDA and the special levy. In terms of taxes, you see that the special levy represents almost $19 million today, and so taxes on that process are increasing one year to the other. What you can see is that the normal taxes are also decreasing, and that is not only the result of the very small decrease in our case of the corporate tax rate, but also of the good work that was done in securing some savings in terms of taxes that were paid in previous years and that were contested successfully with the tax authorities, and that amount almost to $3 million as of today. And so I think that's also a good job that has been doing here, that has been done here inside the company. Moving on to slide number 12 and summing up net income. So you can see that if it was not for the special levy, we would even be able to compensate for the hydro land remuneration and some non-recurring impacts, but the energy sector levy clearly drags the result down, which even then is not declining so much because of this good performance in financial costs. On slide 13, the evolution of debt also mirrors and talks to you about how the financial costs have been evolving. This on the year-on-year, 9 months, 9 months, debt is declining a little bit, but if you look at the end of the year, last year, it is actually increasing slightly. We are not overly concerned. It has to be, this is basically related to the fact that this year we have a little bit more tariff deviations than in previous years. As you know, these are 2 years kind of deviations, and so in 2 years we are paid this money, but in this year in particular, they are slightly higher, and it was a year also that we paid more income taxes because of the good results that we have in 2013. So as the drop in debt was larger than anticipated, I would say, in 2013. This year, you will not see that. On both years, you still see a drop in debt, but you will not see is a continuous drop in debt in every single year. Okay? That being said, net debt to EBITDA is at the same levels as it was in previous years, and the important thing here in terms of that is that we are and we continue committed to maintaining investment grade credit metrics. It's not only and not particularly an issue only of net debt to EBITDA. Other metrics are particularly important. Liquidity is particularly important. We are very committed to maintaining the investment grade status that we attained, and so we keep the 2-year liquidity that we've been keeping for some time, and we keep very close attention to the credit metrics in order to maintain the investment grade credit metrics and the investment grade rating that we now enjoy. So in some final remarks, I'd say that in the 9 months, basically the story is that hydro land remuneration on onsite and special levy pushed down the results, and that the good performance of financial costs was not enough to compensate this, but is a good sign for the future. In terms of CAPEX, as I'd say, you have to look at it in this way, that it is lower, but it is by design. So we are calibrating it so that in the 2 years we maintain the objective that we set out in the business plan. And to anticipate some questions, let me just refer that, so as you know, ERSE already released a proposal for the new regulation for next year. All of the information is not out yet. It is not public. Of course, that what is public is the part that spoke about the base rate. It is now linked to the 10-year Portuguese bond, which I think is good, They made several other changes. I can tell you that the drop that they made in the base rate was a little bit more aggressive than what we anticipated. But apart from that, it is our belief that the other impacts should more or less actually be compensated by things that they are changing in terms of incentives. So I would say that the main impact clearly is the change in the base rate. So I'd say that they maintain stability in the overall framework, which I think is good news. They were, I'd say, a little bit more aggressive than we had anticipated and what we felt was warranted for in terms of the base rate. It is only a proposal. We are now in the process. This is still a process that conversations and are being held with them. So we will wait until the 15th of December to make a final comment on this when we have the final version of the regulation. This concludes my presentation, but I'm now happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And we will take our first question from Jutta Unruhsig of Barclays. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hello, hi, good morning. Three questions, if I may. The first one relates to the ESSEC tax. Do you have any update on whether you want to legally challenge the tax? And also related to this, when would you know whether the government will extend the tax to next year? Then the second question is on your international CapEx targets, whether you have any news regarding CapEx spend internationally or shouldn't we expect anything before 2015? And then lastly, on your dividends, so now presuming that your earnings will be lower next year given the cut in returns for your electricity assets, are you willing to extend your payout ratio to keep the level of dividends to maintain them, basically? Thank you very much.
So, relative to the tax, I think that your question was if we were going to contest the tax or not. So, as of now, there is a deadline to pay the extraordinary levy, which is 15th of November. We are now still studying all options. We are keeping all options on the table. I cannot give you a more, let's say, precise answer, but I don't think you'll have to wait a long time to see what we are going to do. And so I can tell you that we are still considering every single option regarding that. As you know, this levy is still in the budget for 2015, and so that also weighs in our consideration. So we are now making final deliberations. I cannot give you an answer, but I can tell you that we will do what we feel is important to defend the interests of the shareholders. Mm-hmm. The second part that you asked about international, nothing new. As I've said, this is an option. We are very careful when we look for these investments outside of Portugal, and so we have not pushed the button yet. We are, I'd say, extremely, extremely careful about this, and this is the way that we are continuing to be. We do not want to jeopardize in any way the conservative profile that the company has. We don't want to jeopardize in any way the credit metrics of the company. And so we are looking for these opportunities in this context, okay? So that's what you can expect, that we are, I would say, very careful about doing so. And nothing, I would say, changed in a material way. That's the way we've been looking at this since the outset. But, of course, I think now, if profitability lines are under a little bit more, I'd say, pressure, we are, I'd say, even more conservative when looking abroad. The third, relating to dividends, our policy is not a policy based on payout. Our policy is a policy based on very small increases of the nominal dividend every single year. We believe this is a good policy because it is predictable, transparent, and very stable. We think that it is generous, and we don't feel that it should be more generous, but we feel also that we have the cash flow to that allows us to do that. It is important for the company that we maintain stability in dividend policy. So I would say that is one of the main objectives of the board, is to maintain stability on this point. Of course, this is a decision for shareholders to take next year, but what you can see is that the experience that you have with this board already in place and historically in the company is that the company opts to maintain this very stable dividend policy that has been in place for several years now. Okay, so I would not anticipate any change there.
We will take our next question from Manuel Losa of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon, Manuel Losa from Goldman Sachs. Thank you for taking my questions. Three questions, actually two questions from me, if I may. The first one is on your CapEx plan. In your business plan, you were talking about the 200 million euros from organic CapEx, and then on top of that, maybe the possibility of doing 0.7 billion euros in the period in acquisitions, international acquisitions. I'm a bit surprised by the cut in terms of organic CapEx that you are forecasting, and basically to offset the potential acquisitions of the Galp. So I was wondering whether this cut in organic CapEx is answering to either balance sheet constraints or maybe lower returns expected in gas or in electricity in Portugal. Just if you want to, if you can comment on that. This last question I would have is just if you have to prioritize, which would be your priority? Would be CapEx growth, would be keeping the dividend as you have just said, and would be the leverage? I guess that the answer would be just what you said, dividends and then maybe CapEx growth on the leverage. But if you can rate these three issues, it would be very helpful for me. Thank you.
Okay, so just to answer on the CapEx, what we are doing is calibrating a little bit. We are not cutting, because I would say that this acquisition that we are making of underground storage is almost an organic CapEx. They are exactly the same things. If I built a cavern today, it's this kind of CapEx. So when you look at the business plan, what you can see is basically CapEx in Portugal, okay, and CapEx outside of Portugal. We did not anticipate at that time, to be honest, that we would be able to buy any asset in Portugal. It was not in our minds. But this is clearly a CapEx that is substitutive of the CapEx in Portugal. So it was not done because we feel the returns are bad, or it was done because we view it as organic CapEx, and because within our business plan and to meet the objectives that we set out, it makes sense for us to calibrate the CapEx. And why try and push and anticipate all the projects for 14 or 15 if in this case you have this specific organic CapEx that you can do and you can actually spread the other projects further down the road and have a smoother CapEx implementation that helps everybody in terms of metrics and of cash flow and everything. So that is the reasoning behind it. It was not a question of constraint, it's a question of optimization, I would say. In terms of ranking, I would say clearly that what is important for us is two things on the same level, or if you want. One is to maintain stability in dividend policy, and the other one is to maintain investment-grade credit metrics. These are two very important things for us. Okay? CapEx can be adjusted if need be. We don't have to actually to be concerned about that. I think that we still have the cash flow to have that flexibility. If you had to rank it, this would be the way that we would approach it. We would look at maintaining dividend policy and at the same time also to maintain investment grade credit metrics, which I think is perfectly achievable. Okay, thank you very much.
We will take our next question from Fraser McLaren of Bank of America. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. I just have a couple of questions, please. One is on the regulatory review, and I'd be grateful if you could speak a little bit about the process, please, between now and the completion in December, and just what for you are the most significant residual issues that you're discussing with the regulator. I guess there's perhaps less chance that they will move the base return now, but what other things are on the table that you hope to make a bit of progress with? And what is the precedent of previous reviews in terms of movement between the draft proposals and the final proposals? My second question just relates to debt costs and just looking at your refinancing requirements for next year and noticing that the number is perhaps a little higher than had been indicated previously in the year for 2015. Is that because you've introduced some additional short-term debt there? And could you tell us what the average cost of debt being refinanced or maturing rather in 2015 is, please?
Okay, thank you for the question. In terms of regulation, so the process now is it's being reviewed by what is called the Tariff Council, okay? And after that review, they will make a proposal to the regulator, and then the regulator will make a final evaluation, and it will come out with it in the middle of December, December 15. Along the way, of course, the companies will keep engaging with the regulator to discuss details and other issues. I'm not going to be honest with you, to go into the detail of explaining you what we are still discussing with them. So there are things that relate to the rate, there are things that relate to incentives, there are things that relate to several things within the framework. We are now engaging with them, and I hope that we'll see what we can improve of what they send. In terms of precedent, yes, I would say that most of the times, most of the things are more or less maintained, namely the ones that are, I would say, more visible, but they do change certain smaller things, okay? It is true that they do change some certain smaller things, and so let's see. In terms of cost of debt, I don't know exactly where you saw the information relating to 15. What can I tell you? I can tell you that, so we are expecting this year cost of debt to stay between what is now and what it was in the last semester, so I'd say between 4.7, 4.8, between that figure. And I can tell you that the refinancing needs of next year, which were already set out, are around 400 and something million euros. And so the typical expectation that you can see in the coming years is for the cost of debt to decrease around, I don't know, 30 pips per year. Perhaps in the 1 year is a little bit less, in another year is a little bit more, but that would be the natural trend if markets stay more or less where they are now. We are in the next 2 years refinancing around 1 billion in debt. We are basically doing that in the bond market. So, as you know, even with a small uptick in the last couple of weeks or in the last month in certain spreads, we are still at historical lows, and our marginal cost of funding is still extremely below what our average cost of funding is and what the cost of funding of these refinancing needs are. So I think it is it's not easy but realistic to be able to continue to decrease slightly the cost of debt in the coming years, although not at the same level that it came down from 13 to 14. Okay, so thank you for the question.
Okay, many thanks.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will take our next question from Gonzalo Sanchez Bordona of BPI. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I have just two questions left. One is on the regulatory review. I've heard that you're not providing any details on the talks that you are currently having with the regulator, but just wanted to confirm. I think you said that you expect the final impact to not be as negative as initially we could assume by looking at the what is public, and just wanted you to confirm that. And then second, on the OPEX reductions that we've seen so far this year, the trend is positive, but it's less positive every quarter during the year. Just wanted to know what is your guidance on this front for this year. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the question. In terms of regulatory review, what you can see, and this public, is the base rate plus the cut on the premium. Okay, what we see a little bit more is what I said to you, is that there are other things that may change in the framework that compensate, namely, if not all, most of the impact of the cut in the premium. Okay, so that's why I said that even if that's not completely the case, there are other things that have positive impact. So clearly, the main impact is going to be the impact from the rate, and the other impact is going to be at least partially compensated. Okay. In terms of OPEX, yes, it's true that, and I think it's normal, as I said, that the last quarter has a little bit more costs than the other quarters, and sometimes the decrease on a year-on-year trend is not as large. You should not expect clearly a drop in OPEX of 4%. I think the drop in OPEX is going to be lower than that at the end of the year. But well within, I'd say, what we have forecasted or in terms of consensus for EBITDA for the year. So we are not expecting anything very strange happening there. But we are expecting costs to come down, but not as much as they are coming down as of this quarter. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
As a further reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a few moments to assemble any further questions. As we have no further questions in the queue, I would like to turn the call back to the speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, if there are no further questions, thank you everyone. You know I'm always available to answer your written questions. Please bring them in. Have a nice weekend. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.